On this episode of the Mothman and the Bible Belt podcast, Kentucky comedian Jeremy Moore. Does anything offend him? Is anything off limits in his stand-up comedy routine? Does he think political correctness is killing comedy? Find the answers to these questions and where Jeremy Moore is performing next.
Welcome to the Mothman in the Bible Belt podcast with your host, Buck Fantastic.
Girl Scout cookies.
Stand-up comedy is not easy to pull off. I tried it in college. I won first place at West Virginia State's 1999 stand-up comedy competition, cracking dildo jokes. I tried it again a year later, and bombed. I never attempted stand-up again. Being funny is just too difficult. Jeremy Moore has been doing stand-up comedy for over a decade. He brings an Appalachian flair to the stage that is unique and unforgettable. He's flaming, fierce, and in-your-face funny. He's done improv in Kentucky, Ohio, West Virginia, and Florida. We discuss his life, where he draws inspiration for his stand-up, stand-up comedy don'ts, Yo Mama So Fat jokes, and Dave Chappelle's controversial Netflix special. Join me, your host, Buck Fantastic, for another exciting episode of the Mothman and the Bible Belt podcast. It's eclectic chit-chat of otherworldly origins.
Jeremy, I was watching some of your stand-up clips on YouTube, and I have to ask, where did you get that pussy mouth from?
You know, I always said that, and I open every show I do with, you didn't know they grew faggots this big. I mean, my God, I'm 6'4", and I sound like B. Arthur and Uncle Arthur had a love child. You're welcome.
When did you start doing stand-up comedy?
Boy, you're going to call my age, aren't you? 2007? We're going to say 2007.
Okay. What was your first venue and how did the crowd respond?
My first venue was the Funny Bone in Huntington. I did an open mic. I won second place that night. I went back the next time, won first, and then I won, God, several more, and they told me I couldn't participate, and they booked me Ooh. As a comedian, but I was one of the house favorites.
Is stand-up comedy your full-time gig or?
God, I wish. And it's funny, I shave my head and I work at a wholesale for hairdressers. Yay.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. I grew up in it. My mom's a hairdresser. And, you know, God has sarcasm.
You played improv comedy clubs in Florida as well, right?
I did the Orlando, the Tampa, and the Miami improv.
What upcoming dates and venues do you have scheduled thus far for 2023?
Well, right now, on the 17th, I'll be at the Venetian Estate in Milton, with Jesse Impanella and Lee Mays. I have worked with both of them, and I have been at that venue, and oh my God. On the 22nd, I'll be at the Cellar Door for the Spitshined comedy show. April 1st, I'll be doing the Undeniable comedy show at the Mountain Roots Community Theater in Bell. And on 4/15, I'll be in Bidwell, Ohio, doing the Vintage Comedy Tour with Lee and Lori Graves. Also amazing.
Tell us a little bit about your Undeniable Comedy Tour partners, Jason Evans and Lee Mays.
Okay, now, Jason Evans, I will forever refer to as Lurch. How he's in my phone. He owns up to it. He has a dog named Pugsley and one named Wednesday. He and I both started comedy at the Funny Bone when it was open in Huntington. And we've worked together for that many years, but he is always older than me. And I will never let him forget that. Lee, I met and I have worked with for many years. And his brand of comedy is incredible. He's rapid fire, but laid back. Lurch, you hear him, and it's 100%. You get it. I've never seen either of them do a bad show. And we're talking years.
Wow.
Although Lurch is older.
What makes a good joke?
Well, the lady that inspired me to do comedy, her name is Janet Williams, the Tennessee Tramp. I kid you not. I saw her in like 2004, and I told her I wanted to be her when I grew up. I saw her at a Comedy Zone. Now, the Funny Bone opened here, and she was the first comic I got paid to be the opening act for. And she told me I was like her. I was a storytelling comic. That you do a whole storyline, but you have your punchlines in. I don't do the setup punch, setup punch. I can, but that isn't me. So for me, what makes a good joke, I have to hold the audience attention the whole time. But I will make them laugh one by one by one by one.
How do you go about assembling material for your stand-up?
Everything in mine I wish was not based in reality, but shit happens. Me getting walked out of Walmart for swatting a woman with wrapping paper actually happened.
Was this on Black Friday?
No. Oh, God, no. I'm bad faggot. I hate to shop. I go one day, and I went to the Barbersville Walmart early in the morning. I looked festive that day. I had a Santa hat on. I wear sandals year round. So I had a red and a green sock, and ADHD got the best of me. When I walked in and they had like a half mile of wrapping paper and they had sparkly blue, which that is my birth sign. And I picked a roll up. Now, unfortunately, I ran into a woman her size with three kids. And I asked her politely three times, excuse me, ma'am. She turned and looked at me and went back to what she was doing. And I cracked her with that roll of wrapping paper.
On purpose?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I swatted her hard. And she turned and looked at me and said, what the? And I hit her again. I got walked out because she went and told on me. And in all the years I've been doing comedy here, I've never had anyone in the audience go, oh my God, that was me. I am waiting for that day.
Do you try your material out on your friends and family first?
Oh God, my material comes out. In general, I have tried to sit down and write jokes, but I just write down the hideousness that is life.
Have you ever bombed?
Oh my God, everybody's eating a bag of dicks on stage. If they say they haven't, they're lying. One time when the funny bone was open and we got like 6 inches of snow, I had to be there. There were four people in the fucking audience. Three of them had on Dale Earnhardt shirts, and the woman had on a flannel. And I'm like, oh, fucking hell. And they love me, but four people. I bombed. I wear ruby slippers. Shit.
Do you read your audience?
Oh, God, yes. I open every show with "you didn't know they grew faggots this big." And then I can tell where I need to go. I actually did Daytona Bike Week 1 year. That was unique. They love me, but you have to read the room. And a lot of people don't get that.
Does that make you kind of censor your material some?
No, God, no. Oh, no. I'd still say fuck or cunt in front of a priest and not blank.
Who was your favorite comedian growing up?
When I was a kid, I only got to watch Gallagher, Phyllis Diller. They were really the only ones my parents watched. I worked with Gallagher, and I actually got to use the Sledge-O-Matic in a parking lot and smash the lemon.
Was he a nice guy?
Think about your high school science teacher that may have smoked too much weed in the 70s, because he picked cigarette butts out of the ashtray that weren't his, and he smoked them.
Ew.
Yeah.
Was he that poor?
Do what?
Was he that poor?
Well, he was getting paid by the same club I was. He wasn't poor. He was different. He was unique. He was fun to work with. I got to wield that Sledge-O-Matic, and I guarantee you that thing weighed 30 pounds.
Do you think Appalachia has good quality comedians?
It does. I wish we had more clubs. The Funny Bone is considered like an A room, and you learn how to do professional comedy. And unfortunately, we don't have anything right now, other than if you go into Dayton and up, and the shows that Lee Mays is booking and what Huntington Comedy is working on is looking like that, but it's sad we don't have an actual corporate club.
Is it harder to be a gay comedian than a heterosexual comedian nowadays?
Well, in 2008, they have in Cincinnati, they started 2008 or 9, they started they called it the Brouhaha. And it was comedy and beer. I got put on the female stage.
What?
Mm-hmm. I perform like a female comedian. And that makes sense. All of my idols are female. So when I started comedy here, I had to be out because, you know, again, Uncle B. Arthur.
You sound a little bit like Buddy Cole from Kids in the Hall, in my opinion.
I've heard that before, too. Not wrong.
I love Buddy, by the way.
Me, too. When I started comedy, I wear beads and bracelets and ruby slippers. I have to own it. And I've never had a problem. But I have seen other gay comedians that it is hard for. One headliner I worked with, and I won't name her because I don't know that she's fully out, but she told me she was jealous of me because I could be authentic on stage and she couldn't.
Well, but Ellen's out. Ellen's out. Rosie O'Donnell's out. Sandra Bernhard's out. These are all great comedians in their own right, you know.
They are.
Marcia Warfield, she just recently came out.
Thank you, Jesus. The picture of her with her wife or partner the other day is gorgeous. I had the former manager of the Funny Bone here, now manages the Kansas City Comedy Club. And they had Marsha recently. He got me an autograph.
Oh, that's awesome. Have you seen the new Night Court reboot?
Yes.
Is it good?
I love off and on. I have my moments with it. I love that they have who they do, but I miss Marsha.
Drag queen / comedian Lady Bunny catches hell for some of her progressive political views. Has that ever happened to you? Do you have to like tone down your politics, like when it comes to social media?
Oh dear God, no. I have been banned by Facebook so many times.
Same here.
I'm still under a warning. And I've been good. But in my comedy, I don't do a lot of political. But when Kim Davis got taken into custody, I stood in that protest line for 4.5 hours and got the biggest sunburn you'd ever seen. I enjoyed every minute. The other side noticed me when I played with them, and they called me, quote, proud sodomite over a loudspeaker for over an hour. It was beautiful.
Is political correctness killing comedy?
Not in my world. The only thing that I will, and I have run open mics, the only thing I will not tolerate is racism and just outright misogyny. Other than that, no. Everything can be laughed at. Everything.
Is it bullying or comedy when one compares the new and taxidermied Madonna to Waylon Flowers' puppet, Madame? She does look like Madame nowadays. I mean, all that shit she has pumped into her face.
I look at it from the view of Joan Rivers and Phyllis Diller. They had their work done, owned up to it, and could laugh about it. They were made fun of for it. And as you get older, you have to look at yourself and be like, all right, this is what it is. Depending on the intent. I mean, there are ways that you could bully for that, but there are other ways that it's humor.
Do you think Netflix underreacted to Dave Chappelle's stand-up special that pissed off a ton of trans people, including their own employees?
I actually watched it. I do not think they underreacted. And that's where it goes back to intent. Granted, he is transphobic. In that actual special, he was not. And I appreciated the way he explained it at the end.
When you are doing stand-up, is anything off limits?
Oh, no rape jokes. No racist jokes. I don't even entertain that idea. Even the open mics I did, I would not allow them. That's not funny. Everything else we can laugh at.
What happened to the your mama so fat jokes? They were popular back in the day.
And, you know, I have seen a lot, and there are several that I still laugh at, but when they come into my head, but they should not be allowed. I mean, don't insult your mama. Insult them. Be a grown-up.
Do you think coochie and douche jokes will fall out of favor next due to political correctness?
Coochie and douche jokes?
Mm-hmm.
God, I hope not. I tell douche jokes all the time because douches exist. They're called Republicans. You're welcome. And coochie. I mean, my God, can't we get on to pussy? Coochie. I have an aunt cooch.
A real aunt cooch. Who was the first comedian you saw perform live?
Brett Butler from Grace Under Fire.
Was this before the show?
Do what?
Was this before Grace Under Fire? Before she?
No, this was after. She did touring stand-up.
Have you seen Southern Mama yet?
I have.
Is it true that he bombs a lot? Compared to his other comedy people that go along with him, like Red Squirrel, who is absolutely hilarious.
I agree. The only time I've seen him, and I take that back, Janet Williams, the Tennessee Tramp, was the very first comic I saw live. Brett Butler was the first one I saw in Huntington. But yeah, I've seen Southern Mama and the tour, and Jerry, I can't think of his last name, he is funny. It's been a while since I've seen them.
When you kill over, how do you want to be remembered?
I want everyone at my, and I hope I don't have a memorial that they just burn me. But no, if they have a memorial for me, I want everyone to stand up and tell either the dirtiest or funniest joke they have ever heard. And that's it. When my dad died, I wouldn't let people tell me they were sorry. I wanted them to tell me what made them laugh. And I kid you not, I kept every screenshot of what sick people my friends are and what made them laugh. And that got me through it. So when I go, I want people to say what made them laugh. Because greatest thing for me is hearing someone laugh.
Anything else you'd like to say in closing, Jeremy?
I don't know. I have never done this. Look at that. First time I've had to say that to a man in a long time. I'm looking forward to the show at the Mountain Roots Community Theater. I've worked with Lurch and Lee many times, and it'll be a fun show.
I'm glad that they have something there now. I mean, it was pretty much a dead zone for the arts and the Upper Kanawha Valley.
Oh, I agree. I did, God, years ago, I did one for West Virginia Pride in South Charleston, and I did a show at the Phoenix, and they have nothing up there now, like comedy. And that's sad, because laughter is the best medicine.
It really is. And I saw Kathy Griffith at the Clay Center. I think it was 2009, 2010. She was laugh out loud. I mean, I was laughing like crazy.
I met Wanda Sykes up there. I have gotten to open for Jennifer Coolidge.
What do you think about her Golden Globes win?
I absolutely loved it. Her speech was phenomenal. She is an amazing person off stage. I've gotten to open for Leslie Jordan.
That was a huge loss.
Yo, completely. Michael Winslow from Police Academy. He was on America's Got Talent. You know, comedy has given me a lot, and I have worked with a lot of amazing people.
I want to thank my special guest, Jeremy Moore, for talking about his life as a comedian. You can find out where he's performing on his Facebook page. Remember, Jeremy spells his name J-E-R-O-M-Y, not J-E-R-E-M-Y. For Mothman and the Bible Belt podcast outlet updates, guest bios, and direct links to social media, please visit us on the web at www.mothmaninthebiblebelt.com. Thanks for listening.